Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. If you want to go ahead and open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, we'll be looking there this morning. If the crowd looks a little empty, there's one of two reasons. Cheryl sent out the news and notes early, so everyone got an advance notice that I was speaking, and so that. Or it could be that our college students have, a lot of them have went back home for the winter break, and so they're not here with us. We still have quite a few here with us, and it's great to have our homegrown students and some of those others here with us today. And of course, wonderful having everyone with us, especially our visitors. So in Luke chapter 1, I'm going to be going there. The angel Gabriel is sent from God to Mary. And starting in verse 28, it reads, "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" I want you to imagine for just a moment being greeted by an angel of the Lord like that. "Greetings, favored one." Mary was favored by God, yet we see through that favor, she's put in a very difficult situation. Here she is, pregnant, unmarried, that's difficult now, but especially back then. She was put in a situation, being betrothed to Joseph, that she could have been stoned for adultery. She definitely would be ostracized for what, socially ostracized for what people thought was going on and looked at with shame. Where's the favor? Where's the favor in that? Yet Mary found herself blessed. For Mary, there was no way out except to trust in God. And God does sometimes put us in situations where he can show us his power. I think about Gideon and when he was going to face the Midianites. The Midianites had 135,000 soldiers. And Gideon was going to face them with 32,000. Not very good odds, right? What did God do? He said, hang on. He whittled that down to 10,000. All right, this is going to be a lot more difficult. Hang on. Let's take that down to 300. How do you think Gideon felt at that moment? But what did God do? God took him and said, "Go down to the camp tonight." And as he goes down to the camp, he hears two soldiers talking. And one of them, who had had a dream, says, "They're going to defeat us. I had a dream they're going to defeat us because God is with Gideon." God encouraged Gideon with that. And many times we find ourselves in a situation where we see no way out. And then God shows his way out if we look to him for that. And Mary, in this situation, I'm sure, could not see how she would make it without God. Would Joseph even stay with her? The amazing thing is, in our life, when we see no way out, it just might be God's favor in our life. So what did Mary do, this woman who found favor by God? Well, we see she says this beautiful poem later on in this chapter, the Magnificat. And I won't read the whole thing, but I want to read the first few verses, and that's chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name." The Magnificat amazes me, looking at Mary's situation, and she still says, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me." Mary trusted God, no matter the circumstances or the situation, choosing to do what was right. Following God is not always easy. In fact, most times it's not. But we can take comfort in the simple fact that we're not in control, and God is in control. So then if you go on to chapter 2 of Luke, we see that Mary and Joseph have to take this trip for the census from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Imagine, ladies, being 9 months pregnant and making a 70 to 90 mile journey, maybe on foot, maybe on a donkey, I really don't know. But just imagine that trip. Mary had to endure hot days, cold nights, maybe some fluctuating weather. All this 9 months pregnant. And yet, see, she pressed on and she made the trip. And just when she thought, okay, we're here at Bethlehem, I can just relax, take it easy, she's in labor. And God doesn't always provide the way we think he should. And so they didn't get a nice hotel room. They didn't get a good hospital bed to give birth in. It was very humble where they were. And yet we don't read about Mary or Joseph complaining about it, getting angry, getting mad. They didn't write a bad Google review. No, they accepted it. And she gave birth, and her and the baby were healthy and fine. How many times have we missed God's provision in our lives simply because we weren't willing to see it? Or what we thought we should get, we didn't get. And we missed out on what we were blessed with. Do we think we know better what we deserve and what we need over God? Especially, I know when I'm struggling, I will just sit down and I will count my blessings. I literally have a list of them on my tablet of blessings. You know, you start with the simple stuff, just waking up, having breath, having a heartbeat, brain function, at least for most of us. And then you go to things like just having functional arms and legs and hands. And then you can go another step and think about your family and your friends, this wonderful church family, and those who love you deeply. We're so blessed. We can go on and on. And how many times do we miss all those blessings because we're thinking about the things we don't have? Looking at this situation, we could say, oh, poor Mary, this is bad. But think about it. Her birth announcement came from an angel. She was visited by the shepherds, by the Magi. We can see constantly how God was showing his presence to them, saying, I'm here. If we're honest with ourselves, I know all of us have felt alone at times. And it's during those moments, I know in my life, when God has brought the most unexpected people into my life. And we need to feel blessed. We need to see those people in our life that bring us up, that God has put in place just for us. Let's go one layer deeper. I want to tie this in to our memorial here this morning. In chapter 2 and verse 10, when the angel comes to the shepherds after the birth, he says to them, "I bring good news." How many of us, when we hear that, our ears perk up? It's like, oh, someone comes and says, "I have good news." Wonderful. We just always hope it doesn't follow with, do you want the good or bad news first? But when someone says, "I have good news," our ears perk up. We're ready to hear it. But there's an added level here. I have good news, and what does he say? Of great joy. And it's for whom? It's for all people, it says. But notice the other part of the statement, which will be for all people. The good news of great joy, which will be for all people. The birth points to and brings about a future salvation that's to come. Not just for Jews, but Gentiles also, for all people. Jesus' birth brought a reality to those who were waiting on salvation, waiting on the Messiah. The birth is good news. But the true power and meaning are in what the birth brought, the Messiah. And that Messiah would bring salvation by establishing his kingdom here on earth. And in verse 11, it says, "For today in the city of David there was born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The shepherds go immediately. It says they went in a hurry to see the Savior. And when they arrive, they find Mary and Joseph and the others, and Jesus is there. And what does it say? It says, all who heard it wondered at the things told to them. But Mary, it says. But Mary, and this is in verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And all the miraculous encounters that Mary has had thus far, and all the Old Testament prophecies that she has seen fulfilled thus far, Mary's reflecting on these things. And in this unfolding story, Mary continues to build more trust in God. And she sees his finger in all aspects of it. And we even see a similar statement 12 years later, as Jesus is left at the temple, where it says Mary treasured up these things in her heart. Mary didn't fully understand everything that was going to happen, and especially what would happen much later. But she pondered and treasured these things in her heart, meaning she both trusted and meditated on God's unfolding plan. Too many times, we make plans and we don't look to God for answers. We don't meditate. I think about Proverbs 4:26. It says, "Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure." As a child, me and my friends I grew up in Michigan, and we used to go hiking through the woods, and there was this creek that ran through this wooded area, and we would get on that ice and we would just start walking, pack our granola bars in our backpacks and just have a good old time. Well, this one time we got on the ice and there was some cracking, and we thought, and walked a little further, it didn't crack anymore, we're like, it'll be fine. Well, we kept going, and we got about a mile away from home. And all of a sudden, the ice below my feet gave way. Now, luckily, it was below waist level. but it was icy cold water. And I fell in, got out. Now I had to trek a mile home through the woods, freezing cold and wet. Well, if I had pondered a little bit better the path of my feet, I may have had a little bit better day, but I didn't. Now, that's a funny story, but think about how many times in our life we do those type of things. We make plans and never pray to God. We never meditate and think about what would God do in this moment? Reading his word, contemplating his word. So, it's okay for us not to see the big picture. But let us always look to God to guide our steps. If Mary had seen the full picture, if she had seen what would happen so many years later, it'd probably been too much for her to handle. God shows us what we need to know as we need to know it. So the trip to Bethlehem's over. Jesus is born, labor and delivery are behind them. Imagine the joy as Mary's holding her son, baby Jesus, looking into his face. Jesus' birth shows us the humble means by which he came into this world. But it points to Jesus' death and the humble means by which he would die and the humble means he would leave this world. Mary didn't have an easy path, but she still considered herself blessed. And Jesus didn't enjoy the blessings like we enjoy so many blessings, but he considered himself blessed. And then he passed that blessing on to all of us. Each one of us benefits from that blessing that Jesus passed on, him offering his whole self for us. And it is this reason that we gather every week to remember. Remember him and remember all that he did for us. So let us, like Mary, treasure all these things and ponder them, especially now as we partake this morning.